Are you a beautypreneur seeking for your next breakthrough? Then this podcast is made just for you. The Grace, Grit, and Glow podcast will help you navigate through life, family, and the world of entrepreneurship. Listen to each episode and unravel your inner strength, your brilliant mind, and your complete sense of beauty. And now, here's your host, the ultimate beautypreneur, Nikki Tang.
Hello everyone, wherever you are listening in the world. Thank you so much for listening. Today's topic is very timely, now that fuel prices and inflation rates are going up. As I have said, the most listened to topic in my podcast episodes was the topic on finance and wealth. So I thought of giving you more insights in money management, the psychology of wealth. No matter how tough the time is, there will always be people who are succeeding in life. The question is, why not you? Just because some things are going down, you don't have to go down with it. There's a lot of opportunity out there. You just have to go and find it. In our culture, it has been known that women's difficulties with money have little to do with money per se, but it has everything to do with their fear of power. It's because girls haven't been groomed, expected, or encouraged to be successful, powerful women. Men, on the other hand, are the designated money handlers because they were perceived to be the head of the household, the designated head of any organization, and the head of any enterprise. For men, money is equal to success. It is connected to their sense of masculinity. Our culture climate tends to put more value on a man's income and what he is able to earn. Today, women only hold 35% of senior leadership positions, compared to men who represent 65% of all leadership positions. There is a gender gap in financial literacy and who within men and women makes the financial decisions. For me, wealth is not an amount. It is a mindset. So, whether you are a man or a woman, it does not matter. I know people who have so much, but they still feel insecure. Yet, there are those who have far less, but consider themselves blessed. How does money change the way you think and feel? Wealth impacts our sense of morality, our relationship with others, and our mental health. The way you view wealth and materialism may have a significant effect on how satisfied and happy you are with your life. In fact, having wealth signifies some negative influence for many who have them. Some tend to perceive money as evil. People tend to link unscrupulous business owners' profits to social harm and wrongdoings at all levels. Wealthy people are perceived to be mean, cold-hearted, and less empathetic. More money, less empathy. Companies that would knowingly sell toys to children that are covered in lead-based paint are evil. Money can't buy happiness and love. The pursuit of money, success, and power tends to get in the way of things that really matter. Happiness and love. Research has shown that extremely affluent people are more likely to suffer from depression and loneliness. Money can become addictive. The pursuit of wealth itself can also become a compulsive behavior. It is called process addiction. Here, a person is addicted to the good feeling that comes from receiving money or possessions, which can ultimately lead to negative consequences and harm the individual's well-being. Another type of addiction is being a shopaholic. Wealth can cloud moral judgment. Here is an example of how wealth can tip the moral compass. Owners of luxury cars are more likely not to stop at crosswalks for pedestrians to pass. They feel entitled and they think they own the street. They also are more likely to cut off other drivers. If a person obtains his or her wealth through wrongful methods, then no matter how much is earned or how it is used, the income is not justified. It is not ethical. So far, I have enumerated some of the negative effects of wealth, but I strongly believe that there are more positive effects of wealth for many who always choose the ethical path to financial freedom. I intentionally discuss the negative effects of wealth or money first so that you can see the big difference. I am going to counter the negative effects with my personal mindset on what money really is. Money is not the root of all evil. It is not money that is evil, but the love of money is. And it is even quoted in the Bible in 1 Timothy 6 verse 10. That's the key distinction. I encourage people to put human relationships first when it comes to things like borrowing money or hiring people. At the same time, I also look at ethical ways of spending money, highlighting charities that I personally know are doing good work, and being selective on the things one buys for personal enjoyment. Money is important to happiness. It can't buy happiness, but it is a tool to motivate you to achieve major milestones in your life, which can make you feel happier in the long run. Whoever said money can't buy happiness isn't spending it right. You don't have to buy a Lexus to be happy. All you need is a vehicle that is suited to your financial status, one that will help you in the pursuit of income and transport your family to a beautiful scenic place. Isn't that happiness? You can control money. Like all addictions, the solution to money problems for shopping addicts and overspenders is both simple and difficult. You need to take complete responsibility and make careful decisions about what you spend your money on. The addicted brain is accustomed to instant gratification. Instead of focusing on instant gratification, focus on delayed gratification. When you are in instant gratification mode, you borrow money to get what you want. When you practice delayed gratification, you save to buy the things you want. Investing is all about delayed gratification. Delayed gratification is simply the process of resisting an immediate award for a bigger reward at a later time. To be good at delayed gratification, one must have patience and self-control. We can make money and stay moral. In the book of Judith Rodin and Sadia Manchberg titled Making Money Moral, the authors beautifully link purpose with profit. Some corporations are repurposing their business models to meet sustainable products and services. Some nonprofit organizations are reimagining how to raise money for their cause while creating significant value for investors. For example, 350.org, a nonprofit for climate change. A company can still make money while adhering to an ethical code of business operations, the same as an individual can make money while adhering to strong moral principles. It is really important that your relationship with money matters is healthy. Now, how can you have a better relationship with money? I think the first step that you can do is to evaluate your financial values. How do you feel about money? What are the three words that come to mind when you hear the word money or wealth? If it is either negative or positive, consider why these pop up in your mind. A lot of our financial beliefs and behaviors are tied to how our parents and caregivers felt about and managed their money while we were growing up. In episode 14 titled Abundant Money Mindset, The Secret to Financial Stability, I have listed 4 steps on how to adopt an abundant money mindset. You can go back to that episode by checking your preferred podcast platform like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts. Or you can refer to the link that is included in the show notes of this episode. Going back to having a better relationship with money, you will have a clearer picture of financial status if you write down all of your income, expenses, debts, and savings. If you are already getting intimidated into doing this, the more that you should be doing this. Fearful of doing this indicates that there is already a problem with your financial status. Having a clear picture will help you to see areas for improvement and make a financial plan. Remember what I said earlier about whoever said money can buy happiness isn't spending it right. Overspending is the culprit of our money woes. Creating a spending plan is your next viable step. A spending plan allows you to separate the necessary expenses. List down what you are currently spending on right now. Go over the list if they are a need or a want. A spending plan allows you to prioritize your spending ahead of time based on your values and term goals, so that you can make sure you have the most important items covered first. Fourth is to set up your financial goals. Your goals can be separated into three categories of time: short-term financial goals, which is under 1 year, medium-term financial goals, which is a year to under 5 years, and then the long-term financial goals, which is over 5 years. Figure out what matters to you. Put everything from practical and pressing to the fanciful and distant on the table for review and decision making. And then monitor your progress. Practicing financial self-care is an ongoing process. Make it a habit and dedicate time throughout your week to work on it. Just like exercising, the more you practice, the easier it gets. Building wealth isn't just about knowing the right steps to take and then taking them. It truly is a lifestyle and mentality. Infuse it with lifestyle and mentality. So how do we understand the psychology of wealth? You don't have to be a psychologist to understand how wealth interplays in our lives. For most people, an increase in self-esteem and self-worth is a necessary condition for increasing wealth. On the other hand, greater wealth is often a precondition to building self-esteem and self-worth. Does this make sense? It's confusing, right? It's kind of the classic, which comes first, the egg or the chicken? But really, we need to break free from this paradox. When people's perception of wealth is in things like cars, jewelry, big houses, etc., it could be an endeavor to fake it till you make it. Real wealth is what people don't see. It could be everything money that has not been spent on expensive purchases. To be wealthy, one has to be disciplined enough to not spend everything they have. This, however, should not be misconstrued to mean that one should be a spendthrift or avoid spending on necessities. By not extravagantly spending what you have, you can easily accumulate wealth. If you fail to differentiate between wealth and rich, you could be setting yourself up for a life of successively poor money decisions. For me, wealth is hidden or money not spent. They are kept in order to grow. Rich, on the other hand, is the current income that is spent and visible. Even though the new car you have funded was by a loan, you need to have a certain level of income to qualify for the loan. If this car will help you increase your income, it is still a good decision to get a loan for it. By not immediately spending an income earned, wealthy people get more flexibility, options, and growth such that one day the income not spent can purchase more than it could in the present. Again, I'm talking about delayed gratification here. Always ensure that a part of what you earn is yours to keep. No one can create wealth without saving. Make it a habit to save. Always ensure that a part of what you earn is yours to keep. This is because no one can create wealth without saving. When you have built up some savings, invest it so that it is possible for your money to make more for you. Investing is not a foolproof way to grow your money. Consider your risk appetite because investments definitely have their risk. The better way to handle investments is not to put your eggs in one basket. Carefully select your investment tools like stocks, shares, bonds, or properties. If you place your investment in just stock and the market falls, you are in danger of losing the investment. But if your investment is spread out, your properties may be thriving, your bonds may be earning on average, so you do not lose the whole investment. The money that you invest is not for you to use on expenses, bills, and wants. It is for you to put it aside to grow so that when you do get the money, it can help you buy a big reward like a car or house or your child's education. It is about investing in your future. I would suggest that you consult a professional financial advisor or financial planner to help you with ways and ideas of profitably handling your money. Reading money mindset books can encourage positive money spending habits and budgeting, which are imperative to your money mindset training. Is this episode able to give you value? If it has, I am sure more people need the same takeaway that you got. I would appreciate it if you can share my message of abundance and wealth creation so that more people can have improved lives. Thank you so much for listening. See you in my next episodes. Love, Nikki. That's all for today. I really appreciate your time as you tune into this episode of the Grace, Grit, and Glow podcast. If you were inspired by what you have just listened to, don't forget to leave us a rating and a review. Since you've gone this far, I'm also inviting you to join my Facebook group, Beauty and Beyond. Just click on the link in the show notes below and connect with like-minded entrepreneurs across the globe. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast to listen to upcoming episodes. Until next time.